Well, now it's my joy to turn this over to Dan McCollum.
Thanks, Dave. Man, I'm excited about next week, Pentecost Sunday. Are you guys ready for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit? You know, there was a great revivalist called Charles Grandison Finney, and he said this. He said, whenever I see that my words or my actions are lacking a saving influence, then I go back in my closet and seek a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I do believe there's an initial infilling of His Holy Spirit, but why stop there? You know, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm believing for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit next week. I want you to believe with me. I want you to begin to prepare yourself for a freshness to impact the world, to touch the world. And so we'll be looking forward to that next week. And again, we invite everybody to just act according to your conscience. If you're not ready to be back in a public arena yet, it's fine. Just stay with us online, and we'll enjoy connecting with you that way. And those that are ready and able to come, we will see you here next week. And for everyone, we'll be believing for that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, what an interesting time we've been through. I have to say, I think there's been more conspiracy theories in this season than any time in my whole life. Man, people have sent me some of the craziest videos of, what's going on and all that kind of stuff. And I want to just say, I have no idea. I have no idea what if it is true, what if it isn't true. It seems like even the media has been more confused than any time in history. And you know what? This is the time to focus on what you know to be true. And this is where we have the solid rock of Jesus Christ and the solid rock of what He says. This is where we have the opportunity to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added. Everything else will be aligned. Align yourself with Him, with His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else comes into place. And, you know, that's not my promise. That's His promise. That's what He said. So I know that that promise will come through for you as you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, coming out of this season, because come on, we are coming out. Do you see the changes that are happening right now? The churches being opened again on Pentecost, and just the restaurants starting to open, and changes, retail starting to open. So we are coming out of a season. You know, every time you're coming out of one season and entering into another, it's time for a re-evaluation. It's time to look at what we've learned from the last season and what we're taking into the next season. It's time to reassess how we've grown, how we've changed, and what we want to take, what we want to initiate as new even for the next season. We've talked a little bit about this for the last few weeks, but I wanted to recap just a little bit because I do believe that there's a major transition happening this week. The signs are all around us, but I see a major transition happening. And so there's three kind of recaps I want to do just very simply, very practically from what we've learned from the last season. And the first one, I'm not going to stay there long, and it could hit you a little bit, but honestly, I'm reaching out in love. But the first thing is maybe we need to evaluate that time wasn't the issue. You know what? I've heard so many people say, I just don't have time. Well, you had time now. What did you do with it? All right. Was time the issue or was it something else? It's probably important that we look at our relationship with time. I'm not trying to sell books, but I wrote a whole book on this called Redeeming Time, Bending Time. And that's not the focus. The focus is this, that honestly, you do have time for everything the Father has for you. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 where it says, for everything there is a time and a season under heaven. There is literally a time and a season for everything that God has put in your heart to do and to be. And so I want to encourage you. Some of you are feeling like your rest time is running out. Some of you are so anxious to reignite. Some of you feel like you've wasted your season. All right, that's not the issue. The issue now is that there is time for everything. There is a time and a season for every call, for every purpose that the Lord has planted within your heart. And so let's live each day in the fullness of time. All right, the second lesson that I want to take out of this last season is about redefining heroes. And I spoke about this in a panel a few weeks ago. But redefining heroes, I love how heroes have been redefined during this season. Because, I don't know, it's like our heroes have kind of been the top of the mountain characters, you know? It's been the people that everyone sees have been defined as heroes. But in this season, the people that no one has seen have been redefined as heroes. The people who work in the restaurants and the people who work at the grocery stores and, of course, all of our medical care people have got their rightful place as heroes. And it reminds me of the scripture in Mark 10, verse 43 and through 45. It says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave for all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I think what we've seen in this last season is a redefining of what a hero is. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how there are prominent parts of the body and there are hidden parts of the body, and that the hidden parts are no less important than the prominent parts. But what's happened in this season is a reversal of who was hidden and who was prominent. There's been a redefining of essential services, and we've seen that every part of the body is essential. Every part of the body is an essential service member. And I think it's really important that you reevaluate your personal value to the body of Christ and to the world. It's super important that you understand that you are a hero. That maybe not everyone sees you, not everyone recognizes you, but the scripture says that every one of us carries a part. Every one of us has a part. Every one of us has a value. And I think one of the things that we've learned from this season is the importance of each part, is the importance of the unseen parts, especially the importance of the parts that serve. And reestablishing this value of service in the kingdom of God. Let's read it again. Whoever wants to become great must be your servant. Serving is the pathway to greatness. You know, here at the mission, we talk a lot about your passions and your dreams. And that is really important because your passion is part of where your energy comes from. Your dreams is something you've been graced to do. But sometimes in the midst of that, we miss the essential service. The essential service. See, greatness cannot just be through the significance of pursuing your passions and your dreams, but from finding a place of essential service. You've got to serve somewhere to experience greatness in the kingdom of God. It's not always those that are most prominent or even those that seem to be leading that are most important in the kingdom of God. And we've learned that in a new way in this season. I love how this season has exposed the unsung heroes. There's so many in our body. There's so many in the mission family. You guys are unsung heroes. I know that we get the mic and we get the camera, we get the lights, but you're the ones who are doing amazing things in the earth. And I just want to say, we see you. You are essential services, not just as volunteers, not just as people to help get the functions of the mission done, but as part of the body of Christ that is contributing something valuable and something powerful and something life-changing. We just want to celebrate you, essential services. We want to celebrate you, unsung heroes. Because this season has caused us to redefine what a hero really is and what is really important. These people that have served us during this season have emerged as heroes in a new way. But truthfully, there is a timeless attachment between service and greatness that we can rediscover and take with us into the next season. The third thing that I want to just take with us and emphasize from the last season is this. It's the infectious power of one person. Why was home sheltering necessary? Was it necessary? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this. You're dangerous. You are dangerous. One person really can change the world. It's true. The reason for home sheltering is the infectious nature of one individual. That one touching one causes a chain reaction that can literally affect the world. If you cannot catch this metaphor right now, because this is not a metaphor that I'm trying to create. This is a metaphor that God is trying to speak through what is going on to show you your power to impact the world, your power to change the world. Listen, one of our visions here at the mission is to raise up and send out world changers. You are an essential service. You carry something powerful and you have the ability to impact the world. I think we miss it so often because we're always looking at it on a macro level. We're always looking at it of those who are speaking in stadiums or those who have the camera, those who have the mic. But that's not how changing the world works. Otherwise, they would have just shut down the parts that were you know, public. But no, they had to shut down the private sector too, because individuals are what changes the world. You change the world in your world. You change the world in your sphere. And home sheltering was a statement forever to declare that you are powerful and that you are dangerous. Scripture says, speaks to your infectious quality in Matthew 5:13. It says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Everything about home sheltering was about the potency of you as an influencer. It was about the effect that you make upon the world around you. Make no mistake about it, every one of you that has Christ within is salty. Every one of you that has Christ within is a light to the world. Everyone that has Christ within. You may not be behind the camera or in front of the camera. You might not be in front of the lights. You might not have the microphone, but you are a city on a hill. You are lifted up by virtue of the person of Jesus Christ. And you are set in a place of influence, a place of authority, a place that is seen. Scripture says that you are his letter. You are his letter, written not on tablets of stone, but written by the Spirit of God on human hearts. You are his letter that is known and read by all men. You were made to be an influencer. You were made to make a difference. You know, I have a teenage daughter, and it's interesting today, many teenagers, you ask them what they want to be, and they say an influencer. You know, like social media influencer is mostly what they're talking about. And the truth is, that desire is something God has planted in everyone, because you are an influencer. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light
of the whole world. You are a city that was never meant to be hidden. You are his letter, known and read by all men. You were made to be an influencer, and home sheltering has been about your potential to affect the world around you. Scripture refers to the kingdom of God as a like an infectious yeast. And in Matthew 13, 33, it says the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and she mixed into a 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the whole dough. The kingdom of God is that infectious quality that changes the world around you. We are shifting out of a season, and we know that even in the medical world that the summer season is a time when these kind of viruses die out. But I'm telling you, what's inside of you will never die out, because you carry the infectious yeast of the kingdom of God that has the power to influence and impact the whole world around you. You know, in Acts 17:6, they said these men, these 12 men that have turned the world upside down have come to this city too. 12 men turned the world upside down. And notice that Jesus didn't choose the people that were most impressive. Jesus didn't choose the people who were out front, in front of the cameras, with front of the lights, the people with the mics. That's not the ones that he chose. He chose everyday fishermen and tax collectors. He chose people that would be in our world. The people that would be around us, he chose them to be the people that would turn the world upside down. You can turn the world upside down right from where you are, right from where you live, right from where you work. You don't have to change anything on the outside. All you have to do is change your mindset on the inside. You have to believe that from this whole lesson of home sheltering, the reason is because you're powerful, because you're influential, because your life, even if no one else sees it, makes a difference in the world. You are an essential service. You are an important part. You have value in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus demonstrated this every time he stopped for the one, and he did it often. He stopped for the woman at the well, even though it was socially awkward. It was socially awkward for him to speak to a Samaritan. It was socially awkward for him to speak alone with a woman. It was socially awkward because she had a bad reputation. In every sense of the word, it was socially awkward, but Jesus took time for the one, and she brought the whole city to Christ. Stopping for the one is part of how you're influential. It's part of how you impact the world. Jesus stopped for the woman at the well, and it touched a whole city. He pushed past the social awkwardness to being compelled by the love of Christ. How about the Gentile woman with the demonized daughter? He stopped and he made a difference. The woman with the issue of blood, she touched him and he stopped. Even though everybody was touching him, he gave personal attention to the one that touched him in faith, Mark 5. How about the prostitute party crasher who broke into the Pharisees' party to worship Jesus, and he stopped? They said, hey, why is she wasting all this? And he said, oh, no, she's not wasting. She's going to be famous. What she has done for me will never be forgotten, and 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it today. Jesus stops for the one because he knows the power of the one. That one person plus God is a majority in any situation. That you're not outnumbered, you're not overwhelmed, you are surrounded by him, like we sang this morning. How about the man with the legion? The legion of demons. Nobody wanted to approach this guy. Nobody wanted to be around this guy. I mean, first of all, he'd cut himself with rocks. He'd stripped off all his clothes, was running around naked. He had a legion of demons inside of him. He hung out at the graveyard. I mean, let's talk about the untouchables. This was the ultimate untouchable. But Jesus stopped for this guy, and he was freed of all of his demonic possession. And he goes back, and history tells us that he was from the region of the Decapolis, which is, means 10 cities. And when Jesus crossed the sea and he landed in the Decapolis, there was already a huge, huge crowd waiting for him. And historians tell us that it was probably because the man of the Gadarenes, the man that had a demon inside of him that Jesus liberated him from, began to lead a revolution of drawing people to Christ. So that there were already masses waiting for Jesus when he arrived because of the power of one. Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. He was not a person that people appreciated, that people loved. One of these unseen, unsung, undesirable people. But he's so hungry for Jesus that he climbs a tree. Now, you know, climbing a tree as a grown man, that's a different thing. But climbing a tree in a robe, that's a whole nother thing. But he wants to see Jesus so bad. You know, he didn't climb that tree to be seen by Jesus. He climbed that tree because he wanted to see Jesus. But Jesus stopped for him and he said, today's your day. Out of all these people, today's your day. Today, I'm coming to your house. Today, the kingdom of God is coming to you. And that man was so transformed that right then and there, he gave away half of his possessions. Right then and there, he said, anybody I've cheated, I'm going to pay back double. Because when the kingdom comes to your house, things change. Jesus knew the power of one individual, so he kept stopping for the one. How about all the parents in Mark 10 who wanted their children blessed? And the disciples were saying, hey, he's too busy. He's too important. And Jesus said, no, don't stop him. Don't stop him. And he took time and he laid hands and he blessed each child. And you know what? I don't think that was a generic thing. I think he was speaking into their destiny. I think he was speaking into their giftings. I think he was calling them by name, even like he does today. Jesus stops and he blesses his children and he calls us by name. And he speaks to our gifts. He speaks to our destiny. Because the power of changing the world is in the one. It's in the one. We could go on about blind Bartimaeus. We could go on about the Good Samaritan. What made the Good Samaritan good is he stopped. That's it. How did he change the world? How did he make it into the book of books? How did he get spoken of 2,000 years later? He stopped for one person in need. The mission is about raising up and sending out world changers, but it's important that we redefine who the heroes are. It's important that we redefine what changing the world is. It's important that we take all this with us into the next season, because both the great commandment of love God and love your neighbor and the great commission of go into all the world, preach the gospel, making disciples, healing the sick, casting out devils, all of that is centered around stopping for one. It's not about the masses. The masses happen sometimes, but it's just a different calling. But some of our greatest stories, some of our favorite stories are Jesus stopping for the one. If there's one thing that you could carry out of this season, I want you to know how valuable you are. I want you to know that in the kingdom of God, you are an essential service. In the kingdom of God, your service is your pathway to greatness. In the kingdom of God, it's not those that stand before tens of thousands proclaiming the gospel that are most sung as the heroes of heaven, but those that would stop for one. That good Samaritan. When I was a teenager, I read a book called The Making of a Disciple by Dr. Keith Phillips. He was at that time the president of World Impact. And I saw this table in that book, and I'm finishing here, but I saw this table in this book of the difference between someone who in their lifetime won one person to the Lord every day. So at that time, that was my paradigm. I'd just gotten saved. I was newly born again. I was attending Tommy Barnett's church when it was in Davenport, Iowa, and he was always championing soul winning, which is so important. Evangelism, so important. But so I was like, wow, that would be a dream to win one person to Christ every day would be incredible. And, you know, if you lived as long as Jesus, about 33 years, and you counted all 33 years, you know, we'll just put that, then you would win 12,045 people to Christ, which is amazing. It's phenomenal. 365 people times 33 years, 12,045 people. But you know, if you touch one person a year and impacted them in such a way that they touch somebody the next year, and they impacted them in a way that they touch somebody the next year, then this is what happens. In the same 33 years, you reach 8,589,934,592 people in your lifetime. We're home sheltered because you're dangerous. You carry a yeast of the kingdom of God that can touch the whole world. And you do it by stopping for the one. You do it just by stopping for somebody that has a need. You do it for the blind Bartimaeus who everybody is saying, shut up, don't bother the master. And he goes, wait a minute. I'm going to stop here. It's time to redefine our time redemption. How are we using our time? How are we changing the world? Are you waiting for some opportunity to come your way where the world's just going to open up to you? Can I tell you it's already open to you? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are the yeast of the kingdom of God. You are those that have turned the world upside down, and you do it every time that you stop for one. So as we leave this season and we move into a new season, I want to encourage you to take something with you. You have been remade by this season. You have. Society's been remade by this season, but we need to look back, gain the wisdom, and take it with us into a new season. And help define the next season. Don't wait to reflect what culture is going to be. Define what culture is going to be by being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill. Because you are an essential service. You are powerful. You are influential. Because the King of the universe lives inside of you. And so I bless you this week. May this be a week just of really kind of retooling for this next season. There's a grand opening of the world, and there's a grand opening for you, but there's a new player on the stage of human history, and it's you. It's the new creation in Christ Jesus. Take your place, take your role, change the world, stop for one. This week is Pentecost Sunday, and again, they were endued with power from on high. They were clothed with power to be witnesses even unto death into all the world. And so we're crying out also this week for a fresh baptism of power, that our words, our life, our very presence would have a saving influence on the world around us. So God bless you. Live powerfully and purposefully this week. And we'll see you next week back here at the Mission in person or online. Thanks for joining with us. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then please share it with somebody else or subscribe so you don't miss any of what's coming from the Mission. God bless you.